How do you approach the patient with a node-negative, HER2-positive tumor at this point?
Well, again, those patients were included in HERA, and they had to be high risk by virtue of being HER2 overexpressing and at least a centimeter. And so I'm taking those criteria, and I approach any patient with that risk. And when you look at their risk, it is still reasonably high. I think that there are some patients who, because they're really on the cusp of that risk, maybe it's not so appropriate. But I think in the long haul that giving Herceptin over a year, every 3 weeks, is not that onerous for patients, and it seems to be relatively safe.
In these node-negative patients, do you approach them any differently if they're ER-positive or not?
Well, again, they've got a better outlook, a somewhat better outlook, but I think the fact that they're HER2 overexpressing is still a bad prognostic factor. I think they're still at higher risk. And so we really try to talk to them about their baseline risk, what they can gain from a hormone, what they can gain from chemotherapy, and what they can gain from Herceptin. One of the things we're facing in terms of funding at the moment in Canada is that we have Herceptin approved for patients who are like the patients in either the joint analysis in the U.S. or the HERA study. We can't give it to anyone who might just be on a hormone as adjuvant therapy. And I think there will be a group of patients who will be perhaps older, more intermediate risk, but HER2 overexpressing and ERPR positive, where you might choose to use a hormone and Herceptin and not to give chemotherapy. And we don't really have that as an option. But I think while we don't have data about it, it could be a logical option for a restricted group of patients.